message with me does continue. Shepherds gaze in wonder while angel voices sing. This night of nights has come and brought the world long awaited King. The earth is filled with gladness, and yet the heavens weep. For heaven's eyes can see that he was born to die for me. Jesus, baby. Jesus, is that a tear in your eyes? Jesus, sweet baby Jesus, you know you were born to die. It must have broken God's heart, for the future he could see. Yet he formed the hands and feet, knowing one day they'd be nailed to a tree. This gift came from above, for God so loved this world that he gave his one and only Son. Jesus, baby Jesus, with a tear of love in your eyes, Jesus, sweet baby Jesus, you knew you were born to die. So Jesus, thank you, Lord, thank you, Jesus, for your gift of eternal life. For me, you were born to
to tell you than to say God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay and I can see I cried some bitter tears, but I felt his arms around me as I faced my darkest fears. I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt. As his grace falls down upon me, undeserved, change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good. God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning. His love But the best way I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel so blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though
thank you, Sister Brown. Appreciate you singing for us tonight. Really blessed our heart. We are here at Emmanuel Missionary Baptist. Anytime, and you've heard me tell you this for years and years, anytime the Lord allows us to be among preachers, missionaries, evangelists, we're among honored guests. And we are delighted and honored to have Brother Brown with us and expecting God to do great and mighty things through him this week. He already has. The Lord already has this morning. He met with us greatly and touched hearts, to which we are truly thankful for. And we acknowledge that God is a God that answers prayer. So, Brother Brown, my brother, we love you. You come ahead and you preach to us, and have all the liberty you need, my friend.
Thank you. teaching that mission conference, and I was honored to be invited, and I am as well as these next few services. We pray the Lord will meet with us, and I've been praying. We all need revival, and we pray the Lord will give us that and for your good church. I hope you, as a church, understand you got a good preacher. And I don't know about your pastor's wife. She's been on my case all day, to be honest with you, right from the time I came over here. And at dinner, she gave me a hard time and spilled over in the waitress that was waiting on us. You see, we walked in there, and they asked for our drink order. And like the third little pig, I said, I'll have water. And from that point on, it wasn't good because I got breakfast, and they all had dinner. And I asked, you know, she brought by dessert for all of them, and I said, can I get dessert? And she said, slow down, Rambo. And she said, you don't get it with your meal. And I thought, good night. She's affecting her, the waitress. But we had fun in fellowship. But I all serious, you've got a good pastor and pastor's wife, and they've done a great job here. I've watched from a distance and see how God has blessed your church under his leadership, and it's good to meet Brother Clark and his fine family now. And I just want you to understand what a blessing you have in a good pastor. Not every church can say that. I don't know if you heard about the chain letter that's been going around churches that are disgruntled about their pastors. And so this chain letter, there's no cost involved. You simply have to send the letter to six other churches that are tired of their minister as well. Then you bundle up your pastor and you send him to the church at the bottom of the list. In 1 week, you'll receive 16,466 ministers. One of them ought to be a dandy. Amen? But be careful. One church broke the chain letter and they got their old preacher back. So you got to watch out. But you got a good one. Amen? And I hope you understand that. And I hope that God will deal with us in these next few services about real revival. Sometimes we have services, we call it a revival. We call it revival services, but we really don't know until the Lord decides to give revival. And, you know, we have revival meetings in our church. We have old-fashioned tent meeting. I think this year's the 39th annual tent meeting in July. And God just seemingly every year blesses. But I want us to understand he doesn't have to. I knew an old preacher man, Evangelist Jack Parchman, used to say when he preached, he said, hey, God's not your glorified bellhop. You know, you don't ring the bell and he comes running. And I think sometimes we think that because of what we do and how we plan and set aside a certain amount of days that there's going to be revival. That's our prayer and that's our hope. But it is a gift from God. And I pray that the Lord would do that. Turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4 tonight. And I want to bring a message that I believe will help Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. 2 Kings chapter 4, and we'll start reading in verse 1. We'll just go to verse 7. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house? And she said, thy handmaiden hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. Even empty vessels borrow not a few. And when they art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went with him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. It came to pass when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live, thou and thy children, of the rest. I want to bring this thought to you tonight. How empty are you? How empty are you? Let's pray. Lord, I need your help tonight again as I come and preach to this good local church. I pray in Jesus' name, that powerful name, that wonderful name, your dear son, that you would please help me as I deliver the message. But Lord, I can deliver the message, but I pray that those that hear the message will receive it tonight. Give us open ears and open hearts to receive the word of God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we think of revivals, I don't know about you, but I think of getting a touch from God, of getting a fresh filling and anointing of the Lord upon ourselves and upon our church. And I believe it's God's plan and his provision for every Christian to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and to be used. I believe the scripture tells us that we can we have the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. And then we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. And the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God come when you got saved. Paul wrote in Corinthians that, what, know you not that ye are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, which is in you? And so the Holy Spirit comes in upon salvation. And I believe when that happened, I do believe we receive a filling of the Holy Spirit. But you know, over time, the filling of the Spirit of God departs at different times of our life. It ebbs and flows. Holy Spirit doesn't leave. He's a person. I didn't get part of him when I got saved. I got all of him. Amen. In this business of praying on and fasting on and all this, I'm for fasting, I'm for praying. But for more of the Holy Spirit, well, you're not going to get any more of him. You got all he is. But what the key is him having more of us. And so there's the infilling of the Holy Spirit that we desire. And that's one of the results, I believe, a measure of real revival when it comes to a church, when it comes to individual Christians. But it is God's desire, I believe, to fill us with his Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. This is a command of God. This is not a suggestion. And so it should be the norm or the normal experience for every believer. I run into people sometimes and talking about this subject that it should not be like this among church folks. It should not be, I don't know if I've ever been filled with the Spirit of God. We ought to know better. We ought to know that the Holy Ghost has come in and taken residence within us. And we ought to know what the filling of the Holy Spirit is all about as individual Christians. And sometimes I hear people say, I thought that was only for preachers. That's only for missionaries. Or someone might think, isn't that a kind of pastor thing or a deacon thing or a missionary type of thing? No, it's supposed to be an every Christian thing. It's not only, we have to understand that we were indwelt with the Spirit of God, but we were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And it's our desire and it's our responsibility to stay filled. And if we ask for it, God will give it to us. But as I preached this morning, sometimes we're not necessarily focusing on the spiritual things as much as we ought to. And so I hope in these few nights that we preach that the Holy Spirit will bless us. I pray that people of God will seek the filling of the Holy Spirit again and that we might have real revival in our hearts. It's not an occasional thing. God wants us to be Spirit-filled Christians. It could be said that a Spirit-filled Christian is the same thing as a Spirit-yielding Christian. You see, God's a gentleman. He won't force himself upon us. We've got to let him in. We've got to yield to him. We've got to allow him to speak to our hearts. And it's so important that in these couple nights that we're together that you have that desire to be filled with the Spirit of God. It's all through the scriptures. Turn to the book of Acts chapter 2 if you would. We'll take a look at a few verses to substantiate this truth in scripture. Acts chapter 2. And I want us to take a look at verse 4. And the Bible talked about the early church, and it said, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, you remember, at this time, this is the infant church. There was no canon of Scripture. There wasn't no complete Bible, if you would. And so what God did is he did with the prophets, he did in the New Testament as well. He showed their authority or that they were sent of God by miracles and by miraculous things. And since there was not a Bible here, God chose to show himself in this filling of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament church at that time, and they spake in other tongues. We learned later in the scripture that these were not just babbling, these were other languages. It comes from the word dialecto, which means dialect. Now, my son and his wife and their children have been in Germany for 2 years now, just going to language school every day. And now he's preaching in German and preaching over there in Austria. And it's amazing what 2 years can do for language. But I believe God helped him learn that. But here in the book of Acts, they learned it by God giving it to them. It just came upon them. And people heard the gospel from different regions of the world in a miraculous movement of God. And that was so the gospel could be propagated through all the world. And so it was a touch of God again. And the filling of the Spirit of God. And these people were able to preach to God, to the people in different languages. But here's what he says, to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at chapter 4 and verse 8 in the book of Acts. Just slide over a couple chapters. In Acts chapter 4, and again we read in verse 8, and then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of people and elders of Israel. He got boldness because he was filled with the Spirit of God. You know, sometimes you and I, we don't witness as much as we ought to, and when we do, we don't have the unction of the Spirit of God on us as we should. And I'll tell you, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, there will be a boldness. I've had some people say, preacher, pray that I have more boldness on the job to witness for Christ. Well, I believe if you're filled with the Spirit of God, that'll come with it. And oh, if you've got real revival in your church, people will get a boldness to preach the gospel, to share their salvation testimony to other folks. Look at Acts chapter 4, same chapter. Look at verse 31. We read these words, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Look at chapter 6, and look at verse 3. Chapter 6 and verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men, honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. The early church was going through persecution because they had taken Jesus as their Savior. All of Judaism thought that the church was nothing but a cult. And so God was moving and using the people of God, the church, to bring salvation to those that would respond to the preaching of God's word. And so at this time, God gave them a filling of the Holy Ghost. And the preaching was being done, but when preaching was being done, there was persecution that followed. And the deacons of the church were first chosen in Acts chapter 6 here to help the pastor, relieve the pastor so they could be in the word and in prayer. And they would do the different things that the church needed so the pastor wouldn't have to worry about those things. That really is what a deacon ought to do today as well. Lift up the hands of the man of God so he can be in the word and be in prayer and counsel and minister to the needs of the church. But I'll tell you what, this business that the deacons were supposed to do, they couldn't do it without being filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know how many deacons. I think, brother, I asked Brother Tommy this morning how many deacons. I think he said he had four. You ought to pray for your deacons and pray for their wives and pray they be Spirit-filled men. Amen. Help your pastor as he pastors this good work. But I'll tell you, it's so important for the work of God that we're filled with the Spirit of God. I'm afraid so many times in so many churches and so many Christians, we can go weeks and months and even years without the touch of God because Christians aren't really concerned about being filled with the Holy Ghost anymore. Again, the idea is for somebody else. It's for the man of God. It's for the missionary. It's for the Sunday school teacher, but not for me. But no, you are saved, and the Holy Ghost abides in you, and you should be filled with the Holy Spirit, and God will use you in a great way. In Acts chapter 9, I turn over there, and I read in verse 17 of Acts chapter 9. Of course, this is when Saul was wreaking havoc against the church. It says in Acts 9 and verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. That's right after That's right over Paul became, or Saul became a Paul, amen. And God was going to use him, and he couldn't really use Paul. Boy, did he use Paul. But he was filled with the Spirit of God. And we could go on in the book of Acts and see these truths. Now, back in our text here tonight, I want us to look at 2 Kings chapter 4, and I want to look at this poor little widow woman, and she was a past servant of the Lord in the sense that her husband was a prophet, but he had passed. And she now is alone, and she is destitute, and her children are in danger. You see, back in biblical days, they didn't have any welfare programs. They didn't have Obamacare, thank God. And they didn't have affordable health care. Nothing affordable about it, folks. Ever since they made this thing, my insurance, my monthly insurance has gone up $400 a month. It's not affordable for me. I say scrap it, go back. That's okay, don't get me on that. But anyway, back in the biblical day, they didn't have such program. This woman was a preacher's wife, if you would. And she's husbandless, and she's homeless, and she's foodless. And she here is with her two boys, according to the scripture, and they're in great need. There's no supply. There's no IRAs. There's no retirement package. And by the way, I think in our day there's a problem among churches today that we don't think along these lines as much as we ought to either. Churches are really unintentionally don't think about the needs of a preacher as they grow older in his family, and preachers feel uncomfortable about bringing it up, so it doesn't get done. But that wasn't the case back in biblical days. It wasn't that they forgot about it or felt uncomfortable about it. It just wasn't done. The prophet was faithful to serve the Lord, but he now is passed, and his widow is left behind, and she's in great need. She's a poor widow, and she's appealing to Elisha, the man of God, about her physical need, and that her sons would have to go and perhaps go into indentured slavery, because if they didn't get the bill paid, the creditor was coming, and he's going to take them off and put them in jail until the bill was paid. That was the way it was back in that day. And so she's concerned not only of the loss of her husband, not only of the poverty that she found herself in, she's worried about her sons ending up in prison, debtor's prison. So she's in a hard spot here. And she comes to Elisha, the man of God, asking for help. And so I want us to understand here that God is going to meet her need with what she already has but didn't realize it. And God's going to touch what she has and multiply it. And that's what God wants to do for us. I believe it represents for us tonight really a lesson on empty vessels being filled. You know, you and I have a great capacity, but so much of the time we just accept a meager touch of God. We pray a little. We fast a little. We seek God a little, and what do we receive? We receive a little. And I believe if we would just be like this poor widow and say, God, I'm in need. Would you meet my need? God would abundantly bless in spiritual ways in Christians and in the church. Amen. And so this lesson about this widow tonight really is about empty vessels being filled. Oil in the scripture, you know, speaks of, symbolically of the Holy Spirit. And the story before us here tonight is empty hearts needing help. An empty house needing help. But folks, you and I, we have a house. We are the house of the Holy Spirit. And if we are filled with the Holy Ghost of God, the church house will be filled with the same Spirit. And God will anoint the preaching and bless the services and give us boldness as we witness. And as you minister for the Lord, God will abundantly bless us. There is no telling what could come out of a few evening services called revival at Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. But it's not so much as we say, well, we just need to be filled. I think we first need to focus on we need to be empty and let God fill us. How empty are you tonight? We ask ourselves, how many as God's people are really Spirit-filled today? Again, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit because we're saved, but not all Christians are filled with the Spirit of God. And I ask this thought tonight as I preach, and how empty am I? How empty are you? Most of the time, again, we think, how filled are we when it comes to the measure of the Holy Spirit and anointing and the working of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. But in order to be filled, you got to first be empty. You see, that miracle with this woman here was that she had empty oil pots, but God came in and filled that and met the great need. Oh, do we need the filling of the Holy Spirit? Amen. But I believe you got to realize how empty and how needful and how utterly void of power in ourselves. We have to see that. So much of the time, I think churches and Christians and even in preachers, we're like old Samson. We shake ourselves as the time before and nothing happens because we're not filled with the Spirit of God. We're just going through the motions. We're just having church. Oh, but church and Spirit-filled church are two different things. Amen. And I'm not talking about babbling. I'm not talking about showy things. I'm talking about a walk with God. We are often so full of self. That's why we need to get empty. We're full of works. We're full of sin. We're full of so much of this world that we're not empty so the Spirit of God can fill us. We're full of ourselves. We're full of sin. We're full of this world's influence in our life. Therefore, the Holy Spirit can't come in and take control like He wants to. Oh, He lives there, but we suppress Him. We quench Him. We grieve Him. And we don't sometimes even realize it. Oh, how He wants to fill us and use us. But how empty are we? How empty are you tonight? How much do you desire a touch from God? In our church, we've been there long enough now that we kind of got a rotation going on certain things. And one of the things early on is I wanted our young people to experience ministry. And so, I don't know, I know your church probably does different things, but they go to camp, you know, in the summertime. And then a rotation, they'll go to camp, they'll go to maybe a camp meeting. And then every 3 years, our young people go to the mission field. Oh, I've seen God do great things with young people on the mission field. I've seen God do great things among God's people on the mission field. We have an adult mission trip coming up in 2016. We're planning for that one. We've been to many places through the years, adults that want to go with pastor and minister and visit the missionaries, encourage them. But we send our young people every 3 years, and they just got back from the Philippines. Oh, God blessed. But we've been on enough mission trips with the young people to realize it's not a vacation. I think sometimes people think it is. I think young people, as they go, oh, good, I get to go here and I get to go there and I need to have a vacation. But that's not going to the mission field. It's always been a blessing to me, Brother Tracy, as you go to the mission field. I've been in Mexico. I've been in third world countries where it's so stinking hot. I can't hardly breathe and you can't sleep at night and you're laboring and you're preaching and you're preaching through an interpreter. I've gone up in the to the mountains, Tokanakan Indians, and preached through two interpreters. I mean, that's a skill right there. You know, I can't hardly preach by myself, but to preach, and somebody else says this, and somebody else says, you get kind of a rhythm going, you know. And I realized when I got done, I didn't preach the message. The interpreter preached the message. They liked his message, not nearly mine. He didn't think I was doing very good, so he preached what he wanted to. But God blessed. But I'll tell you, I've been to enough mission fields where I understand that if you're going to get anything done, you got to be touched with God. You got to be filled with the Spirit of God. And young people thought it was a vacation to go to, and oh, they got a rude awakening. The first one we went to, I think we took about 18 teenagers and four or five adults, and we had us a group, and I said, hey, this is the last time I do this. Take a bunch of carnal young people that haven't prayed and don't care, and they think they're having a vacation. It was a mess. Then you come home after all that labor, and you get there. Brother Bill, right? You get there and somebody will shake your hand and say, well, I hope you had a good vacation, Pastor. Sure wish I could go. And you feel like, ch-ch-ch-ch. See, I'm not filled with the Spirit at that time. You understand? You know, it's just, it's hard work. It's hot. It's uncomfortable. You're eating weird food and you're having to do unusual things and you're out of your comfort zone and you got 18 teenagers with you that aren't very spiritual. I mean, it is hard work. So we come up with a solution through the years that we not just take anybody that wants to go, but they have to earn it. And they memorize scripture, and they go through booklets, and they go to prayer meetings, and they go door knocking, and we require things of them to prepare them before they get there. And our young people just went to the Philippines, and I'll tell you, Over the years, we saw a big difference in God getting something done because the young people are filled with the Spirit of God before they ever leave. And God uses them in tremendous ways. There's a preparation to being filled with the Spirit of God. And the main preparation, folks, is emptying ourselves of self, of sin. Amen. From the influence of this world. And I'll tell you, these three basic things I mentioned here, they're sometimes what keeps your church and my church and other good churches from being filled with the Spirit of God and being blessed and having real revival. Because we're full of self. And there's sins we don't want to deal with in our lives. And this world has more an influence on us than we care to admit. Oh, we need a touch. And that touch comes from the Holy Spirit's filling. But He can't fill dirty vessels. And so what we need is to empty ourselves. How empty are you tonight? How much do you want revival? Oh, God wants to fill us more. God wants to use this church more than you could ever imagine. But there's certain things we have to understand, and I'm going to give you these and we'll be done tonight. Being more empty tonight, first of all, we must admit our great need. Number one, we got to admit we need it. And that's what the dear lady did in 2 Kings chapter 4. She admitted her need. Chapter 4, verse 1, now, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. You know what she had to do? She had to admit she had a need. She had to admit that she was empty. She had to admit her poverty. She had to admit that things weren't planned out right. And she finds herself in deep poverty with two children still to raise. They must have been up in years in order for them to go into indentured servanthood to pay the bills off, but they were still under her authority. Oh, I'll tell you what, she admitted her need. How great was the need of this woman? She possessed nothing except a little pot of oil. No savings, no reserve, no nest egg. The creditors are going to show up, already been bothered by one. So she sets aside her pride and she comes to the man of God, admitting her need, admitting her lack, expressing her need for help. Hey, folks, this is what we need if we want the Spirit of God to fill us. We need to admit we need Him. Again, think about it, think about it. Muse upon it in the night, tonight, and the next day. Think about how often we think we're bringing about revival. We think we're doing this and that. But we need to touch God. We are in debt in a threefold sense. We owe obedience to God. We owe the love of the brethren. And we owe giving the gospel to the lost. God's been too good for me to be stingy. Amen. We just had a conference on world evangelism, our mission conference. And we're challenged each year to give a little bit more as God dictates. And you know, in order for God to bless a church, we can't be stingy. In order for us to be blessed and filled with the Holy Ghost and God move in the church in a unique way, we can't be stingy with the gospel. Not in our money, not in our prayers, not in our going. It can't just be left up for the preacher and the assistant pastor to knock on doors. Other people have to get the vision, and they will if we'll empty ourselves and allow the Holy Spirit to come in and take over, and then we go out in power. I'm just like you folks. So's your pastor. We get tired. We get discouraged. Oh, but we need to get along with God and get refilled. God will do the work because He's God. But we need His filling. We need effectual prayer. We need to get the job done because God has entrusted us with the gospel. But we have to empty ourselves of self. We have to be prepared to receive a filling. And here's something that's so important. We got to be obedient when He fills us. What's the point of being filled if we're going to sit in our seat of do nothing? See, God fills us for a purpose. And I said this morning, the ultimate purpose is the glory of God. Whatsoever you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. But in ministry, you want to be ministers. I noticed on your bulletin, every member is a minister. That's a great thought. That's a great theme for a church. But you got to be filled. How empty are you tonight? How willing are you tonight to be filled? Well, first you got to express you had a need. You got to admit you have a need. Amen? The positive results will come. Our young people went to the mission field, just young people, but they were busy and they were prepared and they were prayed up and they were obedient and best they could offer themselves to the God. And we put hands on them and we prayed over them, and they went over there with our assistant pastor and our youth pastor, and they went over there. And boy, God greatly used them. The missionary was helped, and the church was helped, and 20-plus people were saved, and this is just adults that were in just a few services, because over there in the Philippines, I know you hear preachers going over there and 500 are saved. That can happen. But this particular missionary, he was very careful not to just have big numbers. He really wanted to see real conversion, so they didn't even count the children that made professions of faith. Now, that's not wrong. We ought to, but that's how careful the missionary was to make sure that when they come over, they were getting the real deal done. And then afterward, they had more and more people touched and saved because of the work that was done in just a few days with young people. You know, it's my experience over the years as a pastor, when we've had a touch of God on our church and the churches that I pastor, much of the time, it was done through the young people. Young people getting right. Young people getting on fire. Young people selling out for the Lord. Some young people here tonight, God bless you. How empty are you? How willing are you to be filled with the Spirit of God? Amen? So we got to admit our need. Second of all, we must recognize our capacity. He says in verse 2 to the woman, "What hast thou in thy house?" And she says, "I only have a small pot of oil." If you and I as Christian people would see and say the same thing, if we would say, "You know, I don't have much. Please fill me." If we'd recognize the need, if we'd recognize our capacity, God could do so much more with us. You know that verse over there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, "Be ye filled with the Spirit of God." It is possible. It is a command. And listen, there's no telling what God can do through Spirit-filled people, Spirit-filled young people, families, amen, and church members. Oh, what God could do with a church like that. But you've come a long way, church. I've watched you. But there's so much more when you get everybody desiring the filling of the Spirit of God. But here's the key. How empty are you? Thirdly tonight, as we look at 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 3, we see we must provide empty vessels. Verse 3, "Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few." In other words, get a bunch of them. The Holy Spirit cannot fill our fullness, because again, we're full of self and sin and the world, so we must empty ourselves in order to be filled. Now, again, I said this morning, you know what revival is? It's revive means vibe, means life. Revival means re-life. And we need a refilling of the Spirit of God. My pastor used to say, we need a filling of the Spirit of God because we leak. Amen. At best, we're unworthy vessels. But he is so worthy. He is so able. He is so powerful. And he wants to fill us, and he wants to use us, and he wants to empower us for what he's called us to do. But we must make room. We must empty ourselves. We can't just keep doing the same thing. You know, I don't know if I got it right, but the epitome of stupidity or of foolishness is keep doing the things that don't work. Why don't we try to get back to what the Bible says will bring revival, and that's filling of the Spirit of God. Yielding the Spirit of God. Praying and fasting and begging for the touch of God. That's what we need. I mean, it's good to fix the building up, and you've done a marvelous job. We have done the same thing. I believe, you know, the world needs to see that God's people are not in poverty. We need to do things right. Amen? I told our people when we were doing remodeling, you know, a lot of our people, a lot of our neighbors in the neighborhood, you know, they go to office complexes have marble floors, and they've got just beautiful facility, and then they come to the little Baptist church, and it looks like it's about to fall down. Amen. A lot of the bigger churches in our area, the mega churches, they got it all, and that's what draws people. And you listen, I'm not against that. You take care of the house of God, it'll draw people. But here's what we really need. Not to just focus on the building, but on the temple. And if we focus on the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, then we'll have a desire to take care of the things of God. Make a nice place for people to come so that you can minister to them and they can serve God in that place. But again, we're so prone to want to look at the outward. It's the inward. It's always been the inward. Amen. Give your vessel back to God. See, this woman said, I have a need. And they said, well, go borrow vessels and not a few. Go get them. And then when you get them, give them back to the man of God so he can offer them up to God. I say to you tonight, Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, give your vessel back to God. And that vessel is you. It's not the building, although you have a beautiful building. The building is wonderful. The church, the body of Christ, is the people in the church. Give your vessel. Give your vessel. Give your vessel. Way in the back. Give your vessel back to God. Give yourself back to God. And let him empty you so he can fill you. And when he fills you, things are going to get done. Amen? But we got to get the sin out. God even helps us with that. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, getting sin out of our life is not just realizing it's there. We've got to do something with it. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. And you know, we've taught people through the years to just confess your sin. We're all sinners, and confess your sin. That's good for salvation. That's good for after salvation. Trying to get out of that bank of lights. I can't see real good over here. Do you do the same thing, preacher? Get over here in the dark. Men love darkness because they can preach better. But anyway, you know, we need God to move in on us. We need an anointing of the Lord. Your preacher, when he mounts this pulpit, he needs to know he's been prayed for. And he needs to pray. He needs to know that you're there waiting in anticipation for the message to come. And I promise you, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, his sermons will get better, amen? You won't have to write that chain letter. It'll get better. But you've got to empty yourself. You've got to give your vessel back to God. Empty yourself of sin, of self, of the world. And then we must then shut the door. Look what he told her in verse 3. He says, then he said, go borrow a few vessels, all the vessels. I'm reading that wrong. That's the Steve Brown version. Then go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels, borrow not a few. In verse 4, and then thou art come in that thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. I just in a way of making an application here tonight, we got to shut the door, and I think you understand what I mean. Shut the door. Get alone with God in prayer. The prayer closet. When I first got saved, I read the Bible, I was just learning to read the Bible, and I read the Bible, and I read in there that you got to go in a prayer closet. So we lived in an apartment complex. We'll be married 39 years here pretty soon, and we had a little apartment, as a young couple would have, and we furnished it all nice, and we had a big walk-in closet. So when I read in the Bible that I'm supposed to go in my prayer closet, I got in the prayer closet. And I'd get on there in my face before God, and I'd cry out to God. Oh, those days were wonderful. God was moving in our hearts and in our home, in our life. I want to ask you a question. How's the prayer closet? We want to touch a God. How much are we going to pray for? How much are we going to beg for it? Get alone with God. Lots of times you can tell when your preacher's been alone with God, because it will be evident in his life. You'll know when you've been alone with God, it will be evident in your life. Oftentimes, we have a soul winning program in our church, and I believe you do too. And sometimes we'll go out and just be all kind of normal every time. Well, some people get discouraged. We go and nothing happens. I wonder sometimes that nothing happens because we go the same way. We have the same result. We're not prayed up. We haven't been in the closet. We're not emptying ourselves of self. But oh, when we've been begging God, you know what? You'll walk and somebody will invite you in their home, and next thing you know, you're talking about the Lord and God's working. People can be saved. Lives can be touched. I need it. You need it. This church needs it. My church needs it. All good Bible preaching churches need it. We need to get alone with God. Get in, shut the door. Shut the door and do business with God. Amen? And we must be willingly obedient. Verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought forth the vessels to her, and she poured out. She did what the man of God told her to do. It's so important. Obedience is the key. We teach the children in the Sunday school, you know, O-B-I-E-D-I-E-N-C. I don't even know how to spell it anymore. But you know the song we teach the kids? Obedience. So much at the house of God is not done in obedience, or it's not done in a great level of obedience. This is so important. Write this down. God fills to the level of our obedience. Did you hear that? God fills to the level of our obedience. See, preacher, nothing happens in my life. God fills to the level of our obedience. Nothing happens in the church much these days. God fills to the level of our obedience. In my Bible, I put a few things. When I get a new Bible about every 4 years, it seems, and I've got several of them now in my office, and I got them planned. I don't have a whole lot to leave the kids monetarily, some, but I have a Bible for all of them. Hopefully I'll get, I have 10 grandchildren now, so hopefully I think I got 10 or 12 Bibles that I've retired through the years, and hopefully I'll have enough when I pass to have Bibles for all my kids and grandkids. Amen. And that Word of God has to get into us, right? And I write down some things in the leaf of my Bible, points that preachers preach. Anybody else do that? Little thing. And through the years, in all the Bibles, I put these same things in there because I want my kids to see them later. I want my grandkids to get a hold of these things. One thing I put in the leaves of all my Bible, quitters never do anything for God. Quitting is highly overrated. That's another one. Don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. Amen? And then I have this one in all my Bibles. Without prayer, you'll be a failure. Without prayer, you'll be a failure. And this one's a good one. God fills to the level of our obedience. Write it down. Make it part of your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill you. But if He does, what are you going to do with it? If we'll obey Him. See, the Holy Spirit will speak to my heart and your heart in service like this. What's He going to say to you? What sin is He going to point out? What worldly thing is maybe in your life taking away your power? You know, what is so much about us? We're full of ourselves and what we want, what we think, and again, we're not yielding, and then will we be obedient? Hey, I don't know what the Spirit of God says to everybody during a message. I just preach the message. But isn't it amazing? This person will come down the altar, and God has spoke to them in this area. Another person will come, and they'll have this burden. Another person will come, and they'll just be coming there to praise God. Some will be coming just to lift their hands and say, God, You've been so good to me. I mean, there have been times where I preach a subject. I've had people come to the altar. I didn't even preach about it. But they'll share and say, well, God spoke to my heart. And it was an entirely different message from what they got. That's the business of God. But are we going to be obedient for the touch of God? God fills to the level of our obedience. And then we must step out in faith. Amen? Be filled with the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. I mentioned again, that's not a suggestion. That's a command. Admit our need, recognize our potential, provide empty vessels, plan to be obedient, shut the door and pray, take God at His word. That's faith. Now turn to this one verse, and I'm going to mention my last point, and we're done tonight. You said that three times this morning. I mean it with all my heart. 1 John chapter 5. Go there if you would. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. This dear woman in chapter 4 of 2 Kings, she admitted her need and she thought this man could do something, the man of God, and she obeyed what the man of God said. You know what? God filled her to the level of her obedience. Do we know, do we believe in our hearts that God will fill us? That he will do a work in us? Then, last thing I'll mention, we must use what God has given. Verse 7, and I'm done. And when she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay the debt and live thou and thy children of the rest. Isn't that an amazing story? I mean, here's this a widow woman, a preacher's wife, a prophet's wife, has nothing. And as she obeyed, emptied herself, literally, physically, those vessels were filled enough that she could go sell it, meet the need, not just for that day, but for the rest of her days. That's amazing to me. But again, I believe this message tonight is a lesson on emptiness, on how God can fill us if we desire it. How empty are you? How empty? You see, if we stay full of self and sin and the influence of this world, we could just keep going the same way. But if we tonight, as God's people, will say, God, empty me so you can fill me, there ain't no telling what kind of real revival you will have. Let's bow our heads if we would. We'll pray. Pastor's going to come. Do you want to be filled with the Spirit of God? It's not just for the preacher. It's not just for the deacons. It's not just for the missionary that comes through. It's not for the evangelist or the visiting pastor for a few nights of preaching. Listen, the Spirit of God in you wants to infill you. He wants to revive you, but you got to be willing. How empty are you? Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, asking for a touch here at this invitation. Pastor knows his church. Lead, guide, and direct him. And Lord, I pray that you would do the work right now and then be the after preacher in all of our hearts and lives as we leave this place tonight, as we pillow our heads, as we sleep in the night, that you would deal with us. Oh God, right now, though, we want to see a measure of revival, and that comes through your people responding to the preached word. Help us to be obedient. Please, Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor?
Amen. Let's all stand. Brother Stephen, what's your number?
317.
317. You've heard the message. The Lord has spoken. If you need to respond, you do that at this time.